MPs are underpaid. MPs are underpaid on £67,000 a year and should be getting over £100,000 a year. That's the controversial call in the middle of the latest Cash for Access row in Parliament. The former Foreign Secretary Jack Straw and Sir Malcolm Rifkind have denied wrongdoing after being secretly filmed being offered work for a fictional company. They were targeted by reporters for the Daily Telegraph and Channel 4's dispatches. There have been fresh demands for MPs to be banned from accepting work outside Parliament, but Sir Malcolm has claimed it's unrealistic for MPs to live off their basic salary. Do you think it's unrealistic for MPs to work on £67,000 a year? How would you feel about MPs here in Northern Ireland getting a pay rise? Philip Blonde from the think tank ResPublica is among those proposing a big hike. Hello to you, Philip. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the commentator Seamus Close is with us as well. Morning to you, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
Set this out for us then, Philip. Why should they get a pay rise?
Well, I mean, this is one half of what I'm arguing, I think. They should be banned from taking any second jobs at all. I think when you saw Straw and Rifkin, I thought it was profoundly disturbing. I think they shouldn't be allowed to take any jobs, particularly for private sector interests, and there should only be a public interest defence. But leaving that aside, I think the common cause of all these scandals is that we've artificially held MPs' pay back. I think we can all accept, or at least I hope we can, that actually MPs are at the top of the public service tree. But they're not paid as if they're top of the public service tree.
You think we can all accept that, can you? They're at the top of the public service tree.
Well, I think, look, if you take for example, if you're a Labour MP, generally speaking, your constituents are over 68,000. If you're a Conservative MP, it's over 72,000. Now, I think being an MP is a very important job. And I think it should at least have parity with GPs, with headmasters, with chief executives in the local town hall.
Why?
Because I think they're at least as important, if not more important. They make decisions that affect the health service, that affect education, that affect local public services. They're among our most important public services.
So what would you put it up to, Philip?
I'm just arguing for parity. I mean, I think we can discuss the precise figures, but let's look at those figures.
Give us a sense of a rough figure that you have in mind.
Well, I think if you look at doctors, the average salary 3 years ago for a GP who's a partner was £103,000. We've probably got about 2,500 to 3,000 headmasters and headmistresses who are already being paid over £90,000. The average rates for civil service go above £150,000 at the top level. So if I'm arguing for parity, what I'm saying is, do we actually think MPs are at that sort of level? And I think we do. And I would argue for a commission to look at that and
so,
come up with something independent. So, I suspect it would be around £90,000 to £100,000.
So I get it. So what you're saying is you would stop them double jobbing, but you would give them £100,000 a year because you think they're that important and they play that important a role in this society. And we'll get your reaction this morning as you're listening to this. 0845 955 678. And would you go down if you take it here in Northern Ireland? Obviously, we've got devolution here, Philip. So yes, we've got MPs here, but we also have MLAs here, and there could be an argument to pay MLAs a similar amount here in Northern Ireland, I guess, if we follow your logic. How would you feel about that, Seamus?
Well, I mean, we've already went through the whole aspect of MLS salaries about a year or so ago, and at that particular time, it was recommended that MLAs got an increase, I think it was 10 or 11%, to bring them in line, and this is the important point, to bring them in line with MP salaries. Now, we have to set the scale here, set where we're coming from.
The MLA's on £48,000.
Yeah, but I mean, after the expense scandal at Westminster in 2008 or 9 or whenever it was decided that there would be an independent, and I stress that word, independent parliamentary standards authority would be drawn up to assess and to recommend on MP salaries. And they did that. They did that in 2013. They put MP salaries up to £66,500. And then there's a further 1% increase in April 2014 to £67,000. Now, is Philip saying that this body didn't do their job properly? That they didn't assess the work of MPs? Because I believe that they did. They did it authentically and they did it properly. So let's talk now but on the back of further.
Here's what it comes down to, though, Seamus. Are they not worth it? What it comes down to, and the discussion I want to have today, is are they not worth it? And I want a mature discussion with this today.
Yes, and they're worth was decided by an independent parliament.
Yeah, but let's, why don't we put, rather than the independent parliament, why don't we try to put a worth on them? So if, why should an MLA or an MP in this country not be earning as much as a someone senior in the bank, as a headmaster, as a GP?
But listen,
if these people are legislating, for goodness, look at the pressure some of these politicians are put under on programmes like this.
Anybody's arm and saying you must be an MP or you must be an MLA. They stand for election.
But that's kind of irrelevant.
Of what their salary is.
Yeah, but that's kind of irrelevant. In order to attract the very best people, how much should we be paying them? Can it be right that a GP, a headmaster, and Philip, this is your argument, a GP, a headmaster, someone at the top of business is earning a lot more than someone at the top of politics, well, Philip. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, well, look, here's some facts from Hansard's survey. The average hourly hours of an MP works during a week was 67 hours a week, and that excludes travel time. And the average travel time is about 10 hours a week. We know from that same survey that over half of MPs, new MPs in 2010, took a salary cut to become MPs. And we also know that over a third of them took salary cuts of over £30,000. Now, the reason we need for our democracy to pay MPs properly is if we're not careful, being an MP will become the province of the rich or the very wealthy.
Yeah, but
and we will effectively exclude successful professional class people from entering politics because they've already bought into a high level mortgage. They're already bought into a level at which it would be very difficult for them with families to go into politics.
There's one problem, Philip.
Properly, you create a world where only the rich can actually get any advantage.
Philip Blonde, there's one problem with what you've just said. In order to be successful, you need to pay these people a lot more money. You know, are you seriously telling, you know, the average salary, by the way, Philip, in Northern Ireland is 24 grand a year, £24,000 a year. Now, for a nurse listening to this at the moment, who is hugely successful in her career because she saves lives and she'll be nowhere near 67 grand a year. For you to suggest, Philip Blonde, that £67,000 a year, which would blow many people's incomes out of the water in Northern Ireland, for you to suggest that that's not enough for, quote, successful people is hugely insulting to very many people listening to this programme now.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way at all. What I'm trying to say is that do you think MPs do an average job? And I don't think they do an average job. I think it's one of the most important jobs on the public payroll, if I can put it like that, by far. And all I'm arguing for is proper parity with other high-performing public sector jobs. I'm not even arguing that they should be paid at the top level of other public sector jobs.
But I think
that unless we pay with proper parity, we won't get the type of people we want entering politics and we won't retain them. And what we will have instead is this awful mess that we've got now where our democracy, and I watched the interview with Straw and Rifkin and it felt very unpleasant.
I fell asleep last night, Journal.
I felt very unpleasant for our democracy. But what you look, remember it was the Chartists, it wasn't rich Tory toffs. It was the Chartists who, in the 1830s, said, we have to pay MPs properly. And if we don't pay MPs properly, politics will become the province of the rich.